You're listening to a Whales or Whales production.
You're also listening to Whales.
Visit whalesorwhales.com for more projects and shows like this one.
This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music news and conversation from ocremix.org.
This week, we'll catch up on 2 weeks of remarkable remixes, talk through 20-plus minutes of Final Fantasy with long-form composer extraordinaire Rebecca Tripp, and celebrate diverse and colorful casts of video game history with this week's playlist.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of the Overclocked Podcast. I am your host, Brian, and joining me today is my co-host and brother. What's your name again?
My name is usually Steven, and okay. I'm going to stick with that this week.
All right. So, hey, Steven, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm also great. I'm a little tired, but I'm great.
Okay. Well, great at being I've got enough energy for the both of us.
Awesome.
I got to sleep the whole week we were off.
Yes, the whole 2 weeks, actually. You've just been literally sleeping since the last episode.
No, that's a lie.
That's why we couldn't record last week.
That's a lie. I had work to cover since you were out of town. So I
was out of town last week. That's why we didn't record, because we are way too scared to let Steven do a solo episode of this show. So
it'll happen eventually.
I believe it will. I'm already looking forward to it, where you try to surprise yourself with songs, which is going to be very interesting.
It happens all the time. I knew this song.
Speaking of surprising you started with songs, let's start into the secret songs.
Okay.
What did you bring for me this week, Steven?
It's a secret.
Oh, I guess you're right. Should we go ahead and listen to it then?
Yeah. So
all right. So click on three.
Wait, I thought we clicked on four.
Not this week.
One, two, three. All right.
It's gonna be one, two, click.
Let's roll the dice.
One, two, click.
Now I'm interested for this one. I want to
see dark and electronic.
If you can guess who composed this, because you know the composer. I don't know if you know the game, but you definitely know the composer.
It's from Blade Kitten.
Incorrect.
Ah.
Wait, just kind of focus on, I don't know, the ambience and maybe the echoey percussion. Does it remind you of anything?
Thinking. A little bit of David Wise.
Oh, you got it! It's David Wise!
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh yes!
Oh, yeah, Tengambi.
Tengambi.
Of course. It was that dun-da-dun... Dun dun dun! It was like very David Wise sort of melodic flourish.
But it's David Wise, but set in a pop-up book based on Eastern.
Yeah, I've totally heard of this game.
Mythology
and heard some
and
music
painting.
From it before.
Yeah,
it looks really good.
Yeah, I haven't played it, but it sounds really good.
What got you to listen to this?
Honestly, I was just looking through my library trying to find albums that I don't think you've listened to thoroughly, and I found Tengambi, and I'm like, oh. Hey, that's old
well,
Mr.
Hey,
Wise.
One I could guess. Awesome.
Yeah. There's something, industrial and electronic, but also extremely melodic and soaring about some of his music.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of what you'd hear in, like, the mine levels from Donkey Kong.
Yeah. This actually reminds me a little of Dust and Elysian Tale as well.
Because there's nothing more electronic and soaring than monkeys jumping through minecarts.
I've always thought so. All right, well, we'll go ahead and move on to my secret song now.
All right, I look forward to it.
So I go ahead and click on three. Oh, if we click on two, that wouldn't even be helpful because you couldn't tell the spaces between.
No, I know.
You see, like, one, click. Oh, shoot. All right, so we'll go with three then. One, two, click.
Well, that's definitely a guitar.
There is a guitar. There's also a piano. Give until about a minute. That's when it really kicks in.
Yeah, You didn't tell me Laura and Travi was coming to this party. What in the world's going on? So I accidentally opened my eyes.
Okay.
I was about to like fake a guess, but I think that would be disingenuous.
Yep.
But now I know that it's from Codename Steam, the intelligent systems tactical Lincoln
like steam
simulator.
Punk. Yeah, Lincoln simulator. That's the best way to put it. I was very impressed by this.
I remember playing the demo and not being impressed by the music.
Interesting. Not all of it is this good. I listened to the whole soundtrack, but there are some of the songs that really pump you up is maybe a good way to put it.
But let me finish my like two-step story. Then I listened to an episode of VG Empire that featured this music, and I sort of changed my tune, if you will.
Aha!
It is really good. I really like it.
Yep. I just love the like energy and attack of like that piano.
Yeah.
It's really intense. And then when it just starts soaring with the strings and the flute and the horns.
It's got everything.
Yep. I really, really like it. So, yeah, I'd say those were pretty successful secret songs this week.
The Tengami soundtrack is one, definitely go back and listen to it. I've heard mixed things about the game, but I just, I've listened to it a lot. It's very good. So,
speaking of mixed things, let's go ahead and recap the latest OC remixes with this week's Remix Rewind.
Okay, yeah, I'm good. Okay, yeah, okay.
What?
You know, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo ambushed the world with a Latin-flavored Zelda game, but until that beautiful day dawns, we can just leave it to Mr. Kyle. La Gran Fuente de Salsa has a whole lot of fun with a simple source tune, providing, once again, that Koji Kondo's work really can't get old.
Shadow Man always seemed like a cool dude. How many can claim to be a robot and a ninja? And if that weren't evidence enough, Nostalvania steps up with his own undeniable proof. Jazz Assin, a chillin' remix of Shadow Man's theme that thoroughly earns its name.
This is a chiptune riff on Tiny Barbarian DX by the one and only Hylian Lemon, and it keeps things moving without hesitation. The original soundtrack was composed by Jeff Ball.
There's one thing I remember from Mega Man 4, it's the melancholy and fittingly dramatic lead-up to Dr. Kosick. It seems Dr. Welly is right there with me, delivering his own percussion-heavy EDM take on the idea with Flight of Rock.
Petromino is back again, and with Into the Funk of It, they're trying something new. Actually, they're trying several somethings new, with an expanded set of instruments and seemingly a goal to take over the world. They turn an innocent piece from Secret of Mana into, well, this. Their extensive and fascinating write-up of the entire remix, you just might want to head over to ocremix.org. And now it's time to dish up some news with Ripped, Zipped, and Extracted from the Headlines.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I know. I said it so excited.
I know. I'm like more excited about how you said it than the actual news. We have great news this week, one of which is Jason Graves has been announced as the latest Far Cry composer. This comes from our good friends. Well, we are friends of them. I'm not sure they are friends of us. VGMonline.net, which supplies us like all of our news.
We do that a lot. We like find something or someone we like and then just assume that they are our friends until they either become
fake it
our
till
friends.
You make it. You know, it's confidence. It's like if we act like they're our friends long enough, eventually they will start feeling friendly towards us.
If you say the title of the news segment positively enough, you will be positive.
Exactly.
Towards
we should probably just start saying sponsored by VGMonline.net, even though they totally aren't sponsoring us.
Well, we'll think about it.
So, newest Far Cry game, Far Cry Primal, which is a Far Cry game about, like, dinosaurs. Is it dinosaurs? Has that been confirmed?
I don't know if there are dinosaurs in the game, but it does take place in the BC era.
Okay.
The lesser known realms of history, largely because it was not recorded in many cases.
Exactly. Not quite as much information when people didn't know how to write.
But Mr. Graves is known for things such as The Dead Space and The Tomb Raider.
And The Until Dawn.
And the, yes, I think he did that
and
as well.
And The Order 1886.
Okay, this has gone on.
This has. But yeah, he does really good, like, cinematic and, tints. He does tension very well.
He can hit objects with other objects and make you scared.
You know, that would make me scared, too, especially if he's hitting me with objects.
And so, you know, Far Cry Primal seems right up his alley.
It really does. I mean, with his work on Tomb Raider, I think he just has this kind of style down, this very, like, ambient but tension. And also, Tomb Raider was a very primal game itself, so I think he's a really good fit for this. It probably is one of the soundtracks that, like, would be terrible to listen to outside of the game in almost any context, but I bet in the game it will really fit. So.
Well, I know that I'll definitely have it on my MP3 playlist when I'm out hunting in the woods with my bare hands and perhaps an arrow.
I don't know about you, but I want to team up with Smooth McGrew for an acapella remix of the Far Cry Primal soundtrack. Because I think that would be
the moments in the cinematic cutscenes where you're being stabbed. Mm-hmm. You know, some bop, 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 bop.
Well, now we're no longer friends with Smooth McGroove, so there goes that potential friendship.
Burning those bridges. Anyway, clearly we have faith in Jason Graves to do this, right?
This is awesome.
He's going to do a good job. Jason Graves, also just a really pleasant fellow.
Yeah, we should have him on the show.
We should.
And our second piece of news is a little more personal to OCR Remix itself. Steven, why don't you go ahead and lead into this one?
Yes, everyone's favorite DJ Pretzel, David Lloyd, is now, well, he was before, but continues to be a father, because he has
that's
new...
our news, he just still is a father.
He continues to be a father.
All right, good to know.
He and his wife now have a new daughter named Sarah Jean Lloyd, who was born on the 2nd of
You are February. Incorrect. It is the
on the 4th of February.
You're the one who put this date in here. You should be able to read dates.
I'm sorry if I haven't memorized all of David Lloyd's children's birthday yet.
It's part still of a new being show. Part of the OC Remix staff. It's in the manifesto.
I'll get there.
All right.
But hearty congratulations to David.
Indeed.
That not only explains why he's been so busy, but is a lovely little nugget of information to include in our news segment.
Yeah, congratulations to David and his wife and their new daughter. I hope he will play her lots of video game music until she hates it in the inevitable rebellion phase. It'll be good times, David. All right, well, why don't we go ahead and jump into our Intune interview?
All right, we can do that.
Okay.
This is the Intune interview, back again to talk to composers about the music they compose. It's me, Steven, again, and Brian seems to have gotten lost along the way again. Rumor has it he wandered into a haunted house. I'll go find him later. But for now, we are going to talk to our newest guest, Rebecca Tripp. So, hey, Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steven.
We're very happy to have you here. And as we were talking about just before we started recording, actually, I just stumbled upon her music on Twitter. And I, like, wandered into this forest of medleys from Final Fantasy and Legend of Zelda. It was pretty neat. So, but I'll stop doing the talking. And Rebecca, why don't you kind of give the listeners a little bit of an idea of who you are and what kind of music you create?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm an avid gamer, although I do tend to prefer games with a lot more fantasy, a lot more story. And I think I appeal more to fans who like that kind of thing, too. Music is definitely my main passion, and I think video games are the reason for this.
Oh, okay.
And ever since I played Final Fantasy IV, I knew I wanted to be a composer. Just something,
yeah.
The soundtrack just captivated me, and I had this need inside of me to encapsulate those feelings and give them to other people. So I started with original music, which I still do. I've done a lot more originals than medleys and covers and that kind of thing, but covers are more fun for me. And the reason is I like to take all these feelings I had from video games and sort of show different facets or aspects of them so that people can kind of relive the nostalgia of things like Final Fantasy, Zelda, Chrono Trigger, Metroid, stuff like that, as though it's for the first time again. That's one of the major things I do.
That is really awesome. It's interesting that you say that as well, because, and we'll talk more about the song that you brought later, but it is a medley from Final Fantasy VI. And I recently have actually discovered what a good soundtrack that is. I didn't play the Final Fantasy games.
Oh, really?
I
assumed you had.
Well, that, I mean, most people have, right? And so I tried them, but I never got into them.
Okay.
But I know so many people who love the music. So I'm like, that does it. If I don't have time to play these 40, 50, 60, 70 hour RPGs, then I'm just going to listen to the soundtracks. So I started with the first one and I listened to it like 8 times. And I kept doing that until I got to 6. And I have listened to that for hours and hours over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I didn't blame you. It might actually be Uematsu's best, or if not his best, one of them for sure. Top tier.
It's my favorite so far. I'm very inexperienced, but it is my favorite. But all that to say, it was really fun listening to your medley, because I'm so used to hearing the songs play one after the other, like going through the whole story of the game. That it felt very familiar to me, but I was like, oh wow, I've never, like, this is exactly what I imagined would, you know, it would sound like when you were to bring this particular instrument in here, or you could hear the strings so much better than on the SNES in this section. So, but anyway, that was my moment. It was pretty cool.
That there was some of that in the creation process. There were parts I wanted to emphasize, and then there were also parts I wanted to make more subtle and bring out more of the harmonies or background instruments. Again, like I said, show a different facet of the song. For example, some music in the series might have a really prominent bass line, but it's still not something people tend to focus on. I might have a small section in a movement that focuses on that bass line to show people exactly what they were missing if they weren't tuning into it.
Right. No, that, and it's, I've been listening to it like so obsessively that, you know, I thought I had caught all these things, but apparently not. Mm-hmm. And so, as we've already alluded to, you know, it's a medley of a bunch of Final Fantasy VI songs. How many are in that medley again?
Ooh, I can't remember the exact number. I think it's around 20.
Yeah, and the whole thing is like 22 minutes long.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is obviously going to be one of those times when we're not going to play the whole song, but we'll give you a nice taste of it.
Okay.
Here in a minute.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's I put so much of my heart and soul into those medleys, like almost more than I could possibly convey because of the amount that those games affected me in my childhood. It was like that they made me who I am. And I think a lot of FF fans, especially FF6 fans, would agree with me if they're listening to this.
That's really awesome. I mean, music is built of emotion. And it's I love hearing stories about people who connected with it and then came back later to kind of share that connection with other people.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. This would be a good time to take a little break and play through some of the Final Fantasy VI epic orchestral medley.
Awesome.
Thank you. That was Rebecca Tripp's epic orchestral medley. Sorry, I almost said melody. Medley from Final Fantasy VI. Obviously, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't put the whole 22 minutes in there.
Yeah.
But I hope you enjoyed what you heard. So one of my first questions for you, actually, is this the style that you usually use, this kind of big, open, complex orchestral style, or is this kind of a rarity for you?
I would say it's lately what I use about 50% of the time. When I started doing remixes or arrangements is really the correct term for what I'm doing. I was doing orchestral stuff right off the bat, but I did a lot of things in a more sort of Celtic folk or new age kind of genre, and I started combining them. You've probably noticed listening to my work, a lot of my work is more sort of soothing and gentle. It's the kind of thing that is meant to really calm down and uplift at the same time. The orchestral medleys, I try and take people sort of on a tour of a bunch of different things, feelings, stories, etc. Like I try and tell mm-hmm. a full story that makes the person feel satisfied, like they've gone through the game again, only with fresh eyes.
How did that come about? What's your history with Final Fantasy?
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I started playing it on an emulator because I never had never had the games when they came out. But I started with 4 and 6 pretty much at the same time, and I remember, like, I was obsessed with Zelda back then. That didn't change, mm-hmm. actually.
Yeah.
I'd never found another game that even came close to the way that made me feel, or really was very satisfying. I mean, I loved Donkey Kong Country. That was really mm-hmm. high on my list. Loved Metroid. Mario was fun and whatnot. But when I found Final Fantasy, it was like, this is me. This is who I am. That's the only way I could describe it. There was something in there that I had been looking for. Mm-hmm. And I also found it at a time in my life where I'd just moved towns. I was starting over with no friends because they were all in an old town. And that was what I did to kind of distract myself from the chaos of the situation.
Right.
And Uematsu is the reason. I just get lost in these worlds of music, and I became such a fan of him. I've actually met him at a meet and greet.
Wow.
I got on a bus and I was there for 72 hours straight, just one way, so that I could meet him.
What event was it that you traveled to?
Final Fantasy Distant Worlds.
Distant Worlds, yeah, okay, yeah.
Traveling concert of Final Fantasy music. I've been to two of them.
Oh, that's awesome. One of my, probably the closest thing that I can find to relate to the story you just told about you in Final Fantasy mm-hmm. is World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah?
It might not be quite that deep of a connection, but that was one of those worlds that I just, the second I stepped into it, I'm like, this is it. This is, I had been like switching MMOs, trying to find a world that connected with me. That was it.
Yeah.
And Russell Brower is the one who does a lot of the compositions ever since, you know, like maybe the first expansion or what have
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there have been some other composers, but yeah, I'm familiar with the name.
Right. But for it's mostly Russell's stuff that I just can't get enough of. And both Brian and I were lucky enough to go to a Video Games Live concert.
Oh yes, I've been to one, but go on.
And they had a World of Warcraft portion that was dedicated to, you know, that world. And specifically, I think Wrath of the Lich King was new at that point, so they were showing some of the intro sequences. Anyway, all that to say, we were able to see Russell's work there, and it was. I wish I could have met him and been able to shake his hand, but yeah, I know what it's like to follow that kind of that music that speaks right to you.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense considering your affiliation with OC Remix. You obviously have a very deep passion for game soundtracks.
That is definitely true, especially considering the many, many podcast episodes we put out before we were even with OC Remix. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of a recent thing, so it was quite a journey to get here. But anyway, back to your journey. So you played a bunch of Final Fantasy, starting with 4 and the like. It really spoke to you. And when did you start arranging it?
Well, when I was 12... I got, well, it wasn't my first keyboard, but my second keyboard that was really good. And I started composing my own original work, but I was also learning, a lot of game songs from Zelda and Final Fantasy mm-hmm. and Mario on the piano. And I remember I'd learn little bits and pieces of different songs from Final Fantasy IX, or 6 or whatever, and imagine these concerts where all of these songs were connected together, and I just lay in bed at night dreaming of being able to hear a medley of all these things. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, I found some composing software, and instead of composing everything on the piano, I started composing everything digitally. And then I discovered that I could download MIDI from Final Fantasy and other games, and
right.
I started playing around with those, switching instruments, adding my own bits in. So it just sort of happened naturally before I really knew what Remix was. And then it wasn't long before I started making covers, but I didn't really start making the medleys until, I'd say, 3 years ago. And that's because I started to get software that I felt was good enough to really accurately portray the realism of the orchestra, or at least come closer.
Right. And that's a really tricky thing to do when you have so many instruments, hoping that your sounds, you know, match the grandeur or the emotions that you're trying to capture, you know, especially when it's just you.
Yeah. My first medley was a mix of all the main themes of Final Fantasy. And then I did that with Zelda. I didn't have all the main themes of Zelda, but I had a bunch of them. And then I started doing them for individual games. And it was partly to impress one of my friends I mentioned in the break. She was the one who I played FF6 with recently.
Okay, cool.
Well, I asked her, which Final Fantasy would you want to hear a medley about? And she had to think about it, and she said 1. So I started with 1, and then I did 7 because she was so eager to hear about 7. And then I went to 6 after that, when that one was for me.
Yeah.
And then I went on and did the rest, but 6 was probably the most fun one.
And that's something that I don't think we even mentioned on the show yet. And I, on Twitter, I was pretty active a few months ago saying how into the Final Fantasy series I've gotten musically.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned before, 6 was the one that captured me. So I'm really glad that that was the one you were excited to do.
Well, I nearly chose 9, but because you haven't heard it yet. I'd rather...
I could follow this a lot more easily. So when you're working with Uematsu's music, what's your take on it? Do you try to follow it sort of note by note, trying to bring to life what you heard when you listened to it? Or are you kind of trying to bring your own style into it and give it something new?
It's definitely both. I want to capture the soul or spirit of his work. That's the most important part. I can't lose that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to inject a lot of newness into it, because that's actually what's necessary to recreate nostalgia. People have to kind of re-spark their interest in
something. Yeah.
Or look at a facet of it they hadn't noticed before but was always there.
Right. That familiarity is key, where I'm listening to one song source fade into another, and I hear, you know, like... some background notes or like 2 notes back and forth. I'm like, oh wait, Locke is coming. Like, I know like that sound, and then I'm ready to accept the rest of it.
That's absolutely what I'm going for. So I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Right, there are parts in the medley too, where it's not just, capturing individual songs. It's also capturing synergy between songs.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, like, at the risk of sounding like I'm bragging, one thing I think I kind of excel at is transitions between pieces.
All right.
And a big part of that is brainstorming. Before I start a medley, I think, okay, what belongs next to what? And sometimes it's musically, sometimes it's story-based. For example, I followed up Forever Rachel with Locke's theme because of his connection to her. And the two themes are actually very similar. Locke's theme and Rachel's theme are variations of the same theme.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the ending theme, I had a little slice of that because we're sort of in a section dealing with characters. So the ending theme had a bit of Setzer in there and a bit of Daryl's tomb, which is a variant of his theme. And then it sort of switched to the Edgar and Sabin Figaro part, and then I just went directly to the regular Edgar and Sabin theme, the Figaro Castle theme, and I kind of put all that right at the end, because it's one of the most showy climactic pieces, although it's 22-minute song, you have many climaxes. And then
I know I was always kind of surprised at how it would just keep flowing like this river of Final Fantasy that just would never end. And then when it ended, I'm like, oh, it's over. Wow. I hadn't even been paying attention to the time at that point. So how did you, you know, pick the placement? You mentioned like a bunch of smaller ties to tie them together. But did you sit down and did you pre-plan where all these musical themes are going to be before you even wrote it?
Meticulously. I had to.
Okay.
I had to do a lot of transposing of the key so that things would follow more smoothly.
Mm.
the FF6 soundtrack is actually fairly modular, and by that I mean a lot of the songs are in the same key as one another or a relative key.
Right.
And there's a lot of songs that are sort of archetypically connected, so they'd flow into one another very smoothly anyway. But there was a lot of tweaking too, of course, tweaking the tempo. Some things would be slowly getting slowed down or sped up. And I actually just kind of sat there and made notes of all the ways I could possibly transition, and a bunch of sort of trees of possible orders that the songs could go in.
Okay. Yeah. I get it.
A lot of it is the story I want to tell. That's the most important thing. So, for example, I started with the sound of an orchestra warming up to immediately remind people of the opera and just kind of the fun spirit of the game. And then I went into the opening music to make them feel like they're turning the cartridge on. And I had to think about where I wanted to end it to. I ended it on Terra's theme, because it's one of the most important themes in the game, and I knew that people would be missing it all the way through, thinking, oh, where's the overworld theme? Where's Terra's theme?
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it to them at the end, sort of as a reward for sticking with it. And then at the end of it, I don't know if you noticed this or not from listening to the soundtrack before, but instead of bringing the overworld theme to its conclusion, it has that sort of epic climax in the original. I took it in the direction of the variant of her theme that plays in the opening cutscene, where the Agitech walking in the snow. So it's a lot darker and more sort of Star Wars-y at the end.
I definitely got that vibe, and I think that's one reason why it surprised me so much when it ended, because I was expecting something slightly different. But I like that direction. That's pretty cool.
Well, it ends on a darker note because I feel that the game ends on a darker note. It's that the world is pretty much destroyed. People have died. And they've been through some incredible ordeals. Terra loses her ability to transform. Nothing will ever be the same again. But there's also a sense of hope. So I end with a little bit of the prelude, but the minor chords of the prelude. So that it's kind of like, okay, this is
a little uncertain about the future.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one thing I absolutely love about the Final Fantasy VI soundtrack.
What's that?
Is that it begins with that Omen song, and I'm always off key, but you know, it's that kind of bum bum bum.
Yeah, I love that bit. Oh,
and then you go through so much of the game, and then right there at the end, when I think it's when you're about to face Kepka or something, that theme comes back, and that is the disaster.
Yeah,
and obviously I haven't played the game, so I'm just like inventing stuff in my own head, but I love that, man. Leitmotif and the thematic just like resonance of this music is like super powerful.
The Uematsu soundtracks notoriously have a bunch of central themes, kind of like a Wagner opera or something like that, where you see the same little tunes coming back again and again. There's a bunch of unique ones, but there's variations, and it makes everything feel more cohesive and connected.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
So did you end up experimenting with any new tools or programs or whatnot when you were creating this, or did you kind of use your standards?
Oh, it was all new. If I could go, well, not all, but most of it, if I could go back and do it again, it would sound way better than it does now. Like some of it was video software. The version of this on YouTube is actually lower quality than the one on my Bandcamp.
Okay.
But I've learned so much since then. I was new at Ableton, for example. That's my audio workstation. I was able to procure an audio workstation, I had to do everything with just a MIDI arranging program and VSTs and that. And I'd have to take digital recordings of everything one at a time and layer them together. And I just, it was so much more limited.
Yeah.
Anyone who's been following my work will probably see a steady progression of quality.
Yeah, I can totally relate with that. I don't make music myself yet, but I do a lot of podcasting, and I've had that same transition.
And you learn the tricks as you go.
Yeah, like if I could do some old shows over... Hold on, my cat's destroying my headphones. Stop it.
if I could do some old shows over again, man, I would knock them out of the park and compared to what they sound like now.
I definitely get it. Well, FF6, this medley, I feel holds up better than some of my other ones I did that year. I'm almost embarrassed with FF1 and 7.
Yeah,
other people
no.
don't notice as much, but I still do. Because
you're going to pick up on all those things that you want to fix.
Exactly. I think the 6th one, I almost lucked out. There were a few happy accidents with the producing side of things that worked in my favor, but there were also some parts where I can clearly tell, oh, I should have used a different sample, or oh, I forgot to unfreeze that track when I exported it and I didn't discover until months later, like that kind of thing.
Well, what do you think was the toughest part of it?
The 6th medley?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if I can remember. There's always been problem movements in every... I'd say probably the Magitek Factory and Zozo / Slam Shuffle movements.
Okay.
I'm happy with the arrangements. I wouldn't change them necessarily, but I think they sound significantly lower quality than the rest of it, especially Zozo. Zozo, there were parts where the percussion sounded not very realistic, and that's because I hadn't really figured out how many instruments I really had in my VST.
I got you.
I'm actually planning a Magitek Factory remix just on its own that's going to be really big and epic and almost like an apology for that.
That sounds like a really awesome idea, though. That yeah. song is one that gets stuck in my head like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just goes up and down. You can like hear like the musical machines pounding away. It's cool.
I don't know if you're familiar with my series. I have a series called Final Fantasy of Psychology and Philosophy. You're probably not familiar with it because you haven't played the series yet, but...
No.
I have a section about the music, and I talk about Magitek Factory as an example of the kind of song that gets stuck in your head and is so...
Oh. Satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I better look into that. It'll explain a lot.
It's going to talk a lot about stuff that won't really mean anything to you. It's like character archetypes and that kind of thing. But the music part, you'll definitely be able to relate to.
Okay, cool. And honestly, I plan to go in, and if I don't, I've actually restarted Final Fantasy VI over the past week. Then I got distracted because Rise of the Tomb Raider came out. But I was really enjoying seeing the music in motion, so hopefully I'll get to that point eventually.
Yeah, there's some of that, actually. Sometimes you talked about listening to soundtracks without playing a game. So I do that a lot. I've got lots of soundtracks for things I've never even touched, and sometimes I'll see the game weeks or even years later and be so satisfied to see the music where it was placed.
Definitely. Watching that intro cinematic to Final Fantasy VI, I don't care how old the game is, that was mind-blowing. It's an amazing scene.
I'd actually... go on, you first.
Oh, well, I was going to move on topic, so by all means, continue.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about that intro song, if that's okay, because I think that's one of the highlights of the entire series in terms of music. There are three movements to the intro piece, as you probably noticed, but one thing that really got me right after that ramping up scene with the thunder and the escalating notes, it stops on the logo and it plays this really wistful, delicate piece with pianos like do 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 do. You know that part, and that's what really got me. That might have been the first video game song that wrenched my soul, so to speak. I heard that, and I felt like I was in another world. Something about it just clicked.
I don't think I could put it any better than you just put it, actually, so I'm not going to try. But, it felt like it was about to transport you somewhere in this weird way.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about the challenging parts of this arrangement. Do you have a favorite part or favorite parts that you wanted to point out?
Oh, my. Okay, let's see. I'm just going to look at the list here. Right off the bat, though, I wanted to say the Save Them movement, that was fun.
That is one of my favorite songs from the whole album.
It's just so satisfying, right? It rips you in the solar plexus. You just feel like you've eaten a hearty meal.
Yes. Right?
And I love the background sounds at the climax of that. It's like, you know, it just, it has this sense of movement, almost like you're galloping on a horse or something like that.
Yeah.
It feels fast, you feel free, you feel active. Even though it plays during a couple parts in the game that might even be considered bleak, because you're literally just going around killing human soldiers. There's nothing sunny or happy about that. But the song makes it feel like you're doing this righteous,
invigorating, exciting
thing.
Yeah, that's nuts. I've listened to that song while driving, and I had to be very cautious with the speed limit.
And right before that, Mystery Train, Kefka and the Velt movement, I was very happy with, because what I did was I took Shadow's theme, which is very similar to Mystery Train, and I continued the melody as though they were the same piece.
Mm.
Few people even notice when it transitions, and that's appropriate, because Shadow goes with you onto the train, and both pieces are kind of sketchy and dark sounding. And then in the Mystery Train, I included aspects of Kefka's theme that I found blended perfectly with the train music. And
yeah, was that the portion where you added the Kefka laugh in the background?
That
or
actually,
was that later?
Yes, I kind of turned it into a little waltz of just Kefka, but using the same instruments I was using on the train. So it sounds like it's part of a train movement, but
it's a
small Kefka movement. That's where the laugh went. Right.
Oh, that's a good impression.
And then after that, I went to the Velt / Wild West, and what I actually continued Kefka's theme in there. You can hear it in the background. It's actually playing three themes at once. It's playing that, the Wild West, and it's also playing the Empire theme, because I found all three of those melodies fit together as though they're the same piece.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's really fascinating to see how you've, like, pieced, like, you took the whole soundtrack apart and then re-pieced the puzzle together where they fit.
That's a good way of putting it. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
My patience for music is pretty much unending after doing these medleys. I've got two Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross ones that are 30 and 31 minutes long.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that must take a lot of patience. So
yeah.
Well, do you have any more remixes kind of in the pipeline? Anything you're working on?
Oh, God, so many. I've got 100 different things on my list, and I'm currently working on the Link's Awakening medley.
Oh, cool.
I'll be doing a Secret of Mana one. Twilight Princess will be very soon.
Okay. Oh, man. Yeah, I love Twilight Princess.
The Magitech Factory one, as I said. I'm also working on Aquatic Ambience from Donkey Kong Country 1.
Oh, good choice.
And,
yeah.
My friend and I are going to do a harp and vocal collab for the Final Fantasy Prelude. So I'm also doing a Deku Palace collaboration with David Ramos. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I haven't. What is his specialty in the music world?
He's a guy. He does a lot of live game covers and the Ocarina really well.
Yeah, the Deku Palace is one of my favorites. That song's nuts.
Yeah, it's great.
Deku nuts, if you will. Haha, it's a little humor for you. That's the kind of trademark overclock podcast humor you're gonna get on the show.
That's okay.
I think that pretty much brings us to the end of this interview, Rebecca, but thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, awesome. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you've clearly put a ton of thought into this medley, and hopefully I do it justice by editing in the appropriate cues at the appropriate times, but we'll see. anyway, we will see you around. Thank you again, and we'll bring you back to the show now.
Well, thanks for having me, Stephen.
All right, we're back. Thank you to Rebecca for that fantastic interview. That was great stuff.
Mm-hmm, the interview we already recorded.
That we're totally not recording tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been the Overclocked Podcast, and you can find everything OC Remix over at www.ocremix.org. If you like video game music or video games or music, They have you covered.
But if you more specifically like us,
yes,
you can follow us on Twitter at OCR Podcast,
yep,
and submit playlist ideas there or questions of a general variety.
Also, I don't know how many times you've mentioned this before or at all, but we are on iTunes. If you search Overclocked Podcast, you can find mm-hmm. us. And we don't currently have any iTunes reviews, I don't believe. So anyone...
The other podcasts will mock us.
I already am mocking us from my other podcasts that have reviews. And oh, yes, no, exactly. We all laugh behind my back. So I'm actually checking now to make sure I don't give someone short shrift. But we mostly advertise this through the website and stuff. So if anyone has iTunes and also likes our podcast, definitely check out the Overclocked Podcast. Which is actually taking forever to pop up. You might have to dig a little bit. But yeah, check out the Overclock Podcast and leave us a review. Steven has kindly offered to sing out whatever the first review is.
So if
you leave a review on our next episode, he will put it to song and use your review as the lyrics. So anything you want to hear Steven say, go ahead and put that in your review.
Yes, apparently I will do
any
this.
Any explicit language will be edited out for... to keep our clean.
I will just yell beep.
He will literally yell beep. Rating. So yes. If you just want to leave a review of all curse words, then go for it. You can hear Steven's impression of a car. Mm-hmm. And did we mention you can email us anything at podcast@ocremix.org? And
we've recently gotten some great feedback, actually, by a couple of listeners, which it is very, very, very helpful.
Yeah.
So if anyone else has any thoughts, for example, you take too long to explain what iTunes is, then feel free to submit your thoughts now.
Yes. Or if you have any questions you want us to answer or suggestions, of course, for the playlist, send them our way. And finally, if you want to find other podcasts produced by myself, Steven, and our network of friends, head over to whalesarewhales.com. That's whales, A-R-E-whales.com to find all of our other projects and shows. And
yep,
that'll be it for this. Wait. What?
Well, I was.
That'll be it, Steven.
I was also just going to say that we are going to be at MAGFest.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're making plans, stop by, tweet us or something, and we should meet up and do high fives, yep, and maybe a little jig. I don't know. Whatever we feel like.
That's what people do when they meet up, right?
Yeah.
High five and jigs.
Maybe that explains why our friends tend to not reply to our messages.
All right, and that'll do it for this week, really, this time. Everybody, have a great week, and we will see you later.
Bye-bye.
The playlist is a weekly collection of recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is character themes.
The Night of Woeful Sorrow, Freya's theme, originally from Final Fantasy IX and remixed by Abydos, Andy P, and Fishy. Submitted by Square Evil.
Tiger, Axel's theme from Disgaea 2. submitted by In Disc Playlist Podcast. Tokaka's theme, originally from Blaze Blue and remixed by 3R2. Submitted by Dr. Impossible. Garnet's theme from Final Fantasy IX, submitted by Zachary. The Fragrance of Dark Coffee, Godot's theme, from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations, and submitted by Phoenix Down. Thank you. Mother, I'm Here, Zulce theme from Bastion, submitted by me. Resolution. Ike's theme from Fire Emblem Path of Radiance and submitted by me. Been listening to the Overclock Podcast. Next week's playlist is combat music. You know, music for combat. To submit your suggestions or just say hello, hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast, email us at podcast@ocremix.org, or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom:
don't hedge, don't hog. You're put to the test. Like jet, as hawk, I'll rattle your nest.
La Gran Fuente de Salsa has a whole lot of fun. Why is my voice not controlled?